I'm pretty excited today. Y'all excited? We just finished VBS, and it's like I noticed most of the parents, most of them aren't here. They're all exhausted. The teachers are exhausted. Thank you, guys. Everybody who gave, supported us in any way, made it possible. I really do believe from it's like the best VBS ever. Those kids, it was amazing. They learned that they are a friend of God. So we have a little video we want to show you of VBS, and I may talk a little bit while it's showing. So would y'all throw that video up there? There we go. This is part of our kitchen help, which is always big, right? And it was Wednesday through Thursday. Here's security. No, not really. That's our greeters, you know, and y'all know what they're doing. That's the most important part of VBS. We fed the children a lot. And they had all kinds of decorations, and there's the kitchen help again. We put them up twice. There's Miss Dana. Her and Missy and the prophetic team took care of the teachers, which was wonderful. And this is just random pictures of the kids doing their thing, their barge group. This is going to be fun. And you're about to see this next one. There's more of the kids. We did outside stuff the last night, Friday night. We had a big party, and it was really great. It wasn't too hot. It was perfect for the... There we go. That's what they do. Y'all can stand up and dance if you want to. You don't have to. Father Abraham. It never ends. It was like I was doing this. It never ends. It's like, and then we did outside stuff. These are the blow-ups you guys bought for the kids and the youth. And they loved them. They played for hours. Right? Some of the big kids played. They had to share. We were teaching sharing to our children. It's really good. Ow. Sorry, that's Bella. It was okay. Okay, he made it too. It was a great, great time. I made this video, so it's a little out of order. There's our food servers. There's Miss Katie. She ran a class and had lots of help. There's Miss Sharon. She had a class. Rick was, they kicked him out after the first night. And Dana, she did. She supplied for our teachers. And that's every, oops, it's starting over. It's looping. That's okay. So that was VBS. Thank you, Daniel. We'll go back. And you know, it accomplished our purpose. Thank you. That was like probably the worst video ever, but I forgot to get somebody to take pictures, like on purpose. So we just had random pictures. And they had a bubble machine we borrowed from the youth that made bubbles, foam. It's like foam that tall. The kids ran through mountains of foam for an hour solid, nonstop. It was, they had so much fun. But the thing is, we wanted, I am a friend of God was what we want the children to take home. We want the parents to take that home, that their whole lives, I am a friend of God. Because you know, the thing about the gospel, the whole purpose, right, was encountering Jesus so he could encounter us. So Jesus could live inside of us so we could become one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so that's what the whole VBS was about, was having times when the children would encounter God. And it's true about us too. And those of you that have been here seeing this, we've been talking about the shame-free gospel. And this is probably one of my favorite illustrations of what it is. I'll tell you, he really is. This is the truth. He is unconditional love. He's an unconditionally loving Father. He's a Father that never lets you go. You know, we were singing that song about, you're never gonna let me down. You know that song we just sang? Have you ever been let down by somebody? I should ask, is anyone here not? And you know the pain of that. You know what it feels like to be let down. I want to tell you that Jesus is the one who never lets you down. And if you'll invite him into that place in your heart where you feel let down, you'll experience his presence. I love the fact that the truth is we're all like two-year-olds. And God's a loving grandfather. And as long as we reach up and grab his hand, he'll never let us go. Even if we run off, he's going to stand there with his finger out, inviting us to come back home. Guys, Jesus wants you to come home. When you lack peace, he wants you to come home. That was what the prophetic team did with communion. And you can take communion after church is over too. It's up there because that's what it's for, is for you to have an encounter with Jesus. You can go as a family. You can go as an individual. And we want to talk about encounters with God. That's what this is about. I'm not here to do this mental thing with you. I want you to leave here today with an experience with him. Around here for years, people have seen angels, have been aware of angels. You know, Jesus, God's, the Bible says he sent angels as ministering spirits to the saints. They're with us. And so much of my generation, you know, it was, if you ever saw an angel, they put you in some place that you didn't ever get out of. Had rubber, had this nice jacket they'd put on you. You know, and it's like you just didn't talk about that stuff. And there were some people who did. There were the Smith Wigglesworths and, you know, some very, very strange people like that. But then, you know, the children today, our children born in our world, have a greater sensitivity to the spirit realm than you and I ever dreamed of, just as a general thing, you know. And so a lot of times we look at the young people and we think they're crazy. The thing is, they're sensitive to the spirit realm. They were created with a longing in their heart for something beyond this. And if the church doesn't bring them into the spirit with Jesus, the world will bring them into the spirit with some other spirit that's not a God. And I remember one time I was talking to Dylan Weatherly. And Dylan, he was a youth here and grew up here. And he would see angels, like, a lot. And He just would. And so one time he came in my office, and I'm sitting at my desk, and Dylan's standing in front of me talking to me, but he's not looking at me. You know, it's like I'm looking at you, but I'm looking up there. Well, am I looking at you or am I looking up there? And what if I'm talking to you, but I keep staring up there all the time? Well, I may have autism or something, which is true, but other than that, I'm looking at something. And Dylan's talking to me and looking above my head. And I said, what? And I turned around and looked. So I'm like, is there a giant spider or a snake coming, whatever? And he said, oh, it's just your angel. And I went, oh, hey. I didn't see it. I'm like, cool, that's cool. And then like an hour and a half later, another teenager came in my office. I don't remember who it was. I think it was a girl. And I'm sitting at my desk. And she walks in and she goes, yeah, I was doing this, and I was doing that, and I went to the store, and blah, 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 blah. And she's staring at the same spot. Now, she didn't know Dylan had just done that to me, like 30 minutes before. And I said, what are you looking at? She said, oh, you're angel, no big deal. I'm like, oh, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so later that day, or the next day, I don't remember, I caught Dylan alone, because, you know, as a pastor, senior pastor, you want to do that alone. Yeah, I don't want, you know, I'm like, Dylan, come here, I need to talk to you. He said, yeah, he said, teach me how to do that. How do you see angels, Dylan? And he took me through a very, I understood what he meant, how to develop your spiritual sensitivity so you can see what's already there. Not make it up, it's not imagination, it's real. And so I began practicing seeing angels, the way Dylan told me. And I grew in sensitivity to the angelic realm as time went on. And then it wasn't too much time after that. How many of you have sensory issues? If you know what I mean, right? A lot of people who have sensory issues, it means they like get overwhelmed with too many questions or too much input or too much visible. And it really just, the way they're neurologically designed, it messes them up. I happen to have some of those sensory issues. I can get like you know, I feel like that boxer who said, "No moss, no moss, no moss, quit hitting me, please quit hitting me." I feel like that sometimes. Well, this was one of those days, one of those weeks when there was stuff going on in every part of my life, and it's like, I've got too many questions, I have too many things, it's just too much. And we just happened to be having, the pastors just came in and we were worshiping in here by ourselves, had the lights dimmed, playing not a CD, y'all know what I mean, playing worship music. And I'm standing over here worshiping, and I'm going to get this messed up because it's sort of a lot, but it ends up, I felt like the Lord said, go stand where the communion table is. Actually, it's funny y'all put it there, prophetic team. The Lord said, go stand there in the corner. Well, when I was in school, I know what stand in the corner means. You guys know what that means? It's like, yes, Lord. So I walked, actually it's down here. I walked over here and I stood right in that corner with my face in the corner. I felt stupid, right? But I know everybody, the other pastors are worshiping, so they're not paying attention to me. And I'm just standing there. And then the Lord, I think it was the Lord said it. The Lord said, see, it's hard to say. No one will bother you here. And I felt this like cocoon come around me, and it was thick. It was like thick, and it was opaque, and I could see light through it, but I couldn't see anything else through it, and I was totally isolated from the world. And the Lord said, that was the angel that hangs out with me was the cocoon. And it was like nothing but peace in that place, you know? All of that stuff that was outside was still there. Guys, your stuff doesn't go away ever. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. It's there. But you can walk in peace in the middle of a storm. That's what encounters with God does for you. And God wants to encounter you. If you've come to that place in your life where people have let you down, maybe you've let yourself down, Jesus will come because he's never going to let you down. But you need to encounter him. It doesn't change the outside. It changes what's inside. So it's really beautiful. He is unconditional love. Was I perfect that day? No. I was the same that day as I was every other day. But he changed my life that day. And angels are here. They're not going to leave you alone. They're here for a reason. And we need to learn how to live in the spiritual realm. That's why you're in church. Maybe you didn't know that. You're here not to learn physical things. You're here to learn how to walk in the Spirit. And today, I want to talk about God's unconditional love. And I'm going to try and do it very... I didn't tell you all the whole story. So I'm praying for a 9-year-old girl this few days ago. She's 9, you know, that tall. And I'm praying with her. And as I'm praying with her, you see, the problem with most of our young children is they walk in the spirit realm and us older people don't. And so we try to control them without realizing there are things that they're aware of that we're not. And they live in a world that's harder. It's like sometimes overwhelming to them. Nobody knew that I got overwhelmed by questions. Some of y'all, it's funny. Ah, it hurts. Some of y'all, when we were doing VBS, some of you guys kept asking me questions. I had reached my limit. I was like, if you caught me after I got to here, I had no more answers. Where do you want me to put that? I don't know. And you think maybe it's, I've got a problem with you. No, I was at my limit. You had nothing to do with you. But it's just like it happens. Well, children live in this world, and we don't know what they're living with. We don't know. And we need to learn how to walk in that world. And I was praying with a 9-year-old girl this week, and God reminded me of that encounter that I had with an angel after I learned to talk with Dylan. Learn how to see angels. I knew how to talk with Dylan. But I'm talking to this little 9-year-old girl, and I can't quit crying. I thought, this stinks. I'm trying to help her with her problems, and I'm boohooing like a 9-year-old kid. Well, you know what? She understood me. Go figure, huh? Maybe she understands the spirit realm better than we do. Sometimes, you know. So, we're going to talk about love. And I know we're treading on thin ice, okay? And in our world, there's a lot of stuff out there that may sound contradictory. This is Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to read through this, and I just want to talk about it as I go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's talking about the spirit realm, right? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. How encouraging is that? Every human ever born has a purpose and a destiny and an importance. There is something important we all are bringing to the game. You get to play. There are no sideline watchers. There are no inactive. There aren't any. Everyone gets picked for the first string. And we all have that. And that's just really true. Now, it's interesting. Because I'm going to talk about sin today. But I'm using my definition of sin, maybe not yours. What I see in the scripture about sin is sin is a relationship word. If you've been here much, you've heard me say it 5,000 times. It's a relational word. It's when Adam and Eve, they went this way, God was over here. That was sin. And when they did, guess what happened? The enemy threw a net over them. That word entangles, that's a really cool word in the Greek. It literally means it's pertaining to the exertion of tight control. That's a Bible dictionary language, but I understand what that means. Listen, I'm walking, I'm doing great. Me and Jesus are humanizing. Whatever I made up a new word. We're humanizing with Jesus, right? Him and us and him. We're living with him. And all of a sudden, I take a step over here and I get in the shadows, I get in the dark, and somebody, not just something, somebody throws a net over me and jerks it. You know, it's like in those old, you know, those jungle movies where they have a net laid on the ground and you don't happen to notice a net and you walk in it and then the tree jerks it up in the air. You have no choice. You're entangled in a net. That's what that word is. Something exerts control over you. That's what happens, right? And Jesus said it in the scripture, the Bible, it says it. It says, listen, throw it off. The sin that easily entangles you. The sin is us living on our own, independent from God. The net is what the devil throws on us and starts jerking our chain over and over and over. And he says, listen, throw the sin off and the net gets destroyed. So simple, right? Now, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, who's in charge of you growing up? In that picture, in the first picture, who's in charge when a grandfather has his 2-year-old grandchild's hand? Who's in charge of where they go, how fast they go, what they do when they get there, what they don't do? I give my grandchildren sugar and stuff like that and red dye. It's like that's because I'm in charge when I have them, right? Who's in charge of our lives? Listen, you're just like me. You and I are no more than a 2-year-old compared to our loving Father. And not a judge, angry God who doesn't care beans about us. It's the most loving, kind, gentle, unconditional, loving Father ever. And if you'll hold on to His hand, He will get you to the destination. And that's He's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who helps us grow in faith. He's the one who helps us grow in wisdom and knowledge and physically in every way. And who for the joy set before Him, the joy that Jesus could see of walking in step with His dad is that gave Him the power to endure the cross and to scorn its shame. And He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know what's interesting? Sometimes if you were watching, when I have my grandchilds, when they grab my finger, sometimes, you know what I mean? I go with them where they're going. As long as it's not dangerous, as long as it's okay with their mom, I'm going with them. And that's what we do with God, right? And so it's really that net, the sin causes the net that entangles us and it controls us, and there's a force holding the other end of the rope. And we don't realize that. You know what? So there's no shame. You see, we become ashamed of what we do when we're being controlled in the net. And we'll feel bad about what we did, and we'll think we're not good, and we'll think all this stuff. When the truth is, the problem was when we let go of our dad's finger, we let go of our father's finger and got in trouble. Go back to your father. If you feel that feeling, like me, if you feel overwhelmed with life, go grab His finger. That's what the worship team was saying. That's what everybody's saying. It's really true. It's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. Now, verse 3. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men. You see, and then he says, in your struggle against sin. You see, the struggle is against our disconnection from God. Whether it's ours or somebody else's, that's what our struggle's against. It's not against the person. It's against the sin that's controlling them. It's entangling them. That has entrapped them and ensnared them. And then he says this crazy thing. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. No, because only Jesus shed blood could set us free. He shed His blood for us. He shed His blood. And then he said, have you forgotten? Now, guys, this is what's beautiful about this passage. Unconditional love is true. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. He's about to lay the most encouraging thing on you that you've ever worn. It will be like a warm, soft quilt of a cashmere wool wrapped around you. You're going to love what I'm about to say. You're going to love it. It's going to turn your world upside down. You're going to feel so loved. We may not even be able to go on through the rest of the service because of this. Okay, you ready? Take a deep breath. I know we may have to just stop and just be loved. Here we go. My son. That's the mature son. When God looks at me and you, no matter how long or how mature we are, He sees us as we are going to be right now because He's eternal. He uses the word weos. That's mature son of God, fully grown, fully mature. That was the only word ever used for Jesus when it was Jesus, the son of God. He's the weos. He's the mature, full-grown son of God. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Now that is love. That's love. Now, there's three different Greek words that he uses here, and we're going to look at them because it's very simple and very easy to understand. The Lord's discipline. That word, the Lord's discipline, it's paiduo. I'm mispronouncing that, but you guys don't know. It's paiduo in Greek. It's basically how you train very, very small children. It's like the lowest level of discipline. You know, when your child reaches up to touch the hot burner on the stove and you pop their hand. Or you redirect them. You physically take them and say, no, don't jump. You know, get off the ladder. No, you don't yell at them when they're three. You go get them. Right? It's the lowest level of discipline. It's like we would just illustrate like, don't do that. Just a little, dang, that hurt. Y'all know what I mean? That. It hurt. Don't do that. That's bad for you. Don't drink that. Don't eat that. Put that June bug back down. It was too good. Too late. Camille swallowed it. I'm telling you, it wasn't my fault. Camille, you were only like 3, and I couldn't reach the ground as fast as you could. And she like, I'm like, open your mouth. And nothing was there. I'm like, oh, Lord. She did. That was the last one you ate. Right? That's a loving discipline. That is love. That's what he said. Listen, this is how you know you're loved, right? So he said, my son, my mature son, I'm going to slap your hand when you get off track. That's love. Now, his next thing he says, and do not lose heart. Now, he knows what we deal with because we want to condemn ourselves and feel guilty and feel bad and feel all kinds of stuff. But he said, don't lose heart. I still love you. This is another way you can tell God loves you. He rebukes you. That's how you talk to older children. You reason. You know, it's that verse says, come let us reason together, thus saith the Lord. You actually reason with them. You don't just direct them physically. You talk to them about it. Hey, you know, it's probably not a good idea to be disrespectful to your grandfather. You know, it's probably not, you know, look what might happen. If you don't clean up your room, you don't get your $20 today that I was going to give you for cleaning your room. You know, it's like, do you think maybe it would be better for you if you actually clean your room and then you get money? You reason with them. You talk to them because they've developed psychologically. They've developed immaturity. They can think about things. And so you reason with them. That's a second level of discipline. As you grow in the Lord won't always take and physically move you away. He will reason with you. He'll talk to you. It's a more mature level of discipline that you can't do with an 18-month-old or a 12-month-old, but you can with an older child. And that's a second level of discipline. He said he's gonna rebuke you. And then it says, because the Lord disciplines, y'all can read it. Is it up there? Yes. He disciplines those he loves. For God so loved only Christians. No, he loved the world. And he disciplines because he's an unconditionally loving father. Because we need to know when we're going somewhere that's detrimental to our health, somewhere that's going to hurt us, somewhere that's going to undermine other people. We need to know so that we can come into harmony and union with Him. You know, it's like, it's beautiful whenever the worship team or whenever you guys, when we sing together and there's a harmony, it's beautiful. Which doesn't always happen here. Because I stand out there with y'all. It's not always beautiful, but sometimes I'm not in harmony, right? And when does God do that? Because He loves us. And then the third level of discipline, y'all are going to love this one. You see the word up there in English? He punishes, but that's a bad translation. It's really difficult to translate. The Greek word is mastaguo or something like that. And mastaguo is what they did to Jesus on the cross before he went to the cross. Literally laid him open with a whip. Same words used there. It went into Latin as masticate, which means to grind or crush food with your teeth. If we won't turn and if we're going to destroy ourselves, because he loves us, he will beat the living daylights out of us. That's pretty strong. That's a last resort. And I'm not going to ask you if you've ever been to that place before. I have. It's uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, guys, how do you know God loves you? Because he slaps your wrist. How do you know God loves you, that he treats you like his son whenever he reasons with you? How do you know God loves you? Whenever he scourges you, whips you. It's all love from him because he is love. Now, it's funny, when you go on and read the rest of that passage, verse 7, he encourages, he says, listen, endure hardship as discipline. Endure it as discipline. Now, when I read that, I see a two sides of a coin here. Because sometimes the hardships I'm enduring is because of my own sin, my own disconnection from God. And I'm in one of those stages of discipline, you know. And sometimes the hardships that I'm in are because someone else is disengaged from God and it spills over onto me. You know, Jesus didn't ever disconnect from his Father. So why did he suffer? Why did he endure hardships? Because of us, to set us free. And because he was willing, he loved the world so much that he was willing to go through the hardest thing caused by humans that were ensnared by the devil. And so, when we're suffering emotionally, physically, relationships, finances, when we're suffering, sometimes it's the same reason that Jesus suffered. And you can endure it when you begin to live by faith like Jesus did. God's treating us like his own son. Now, we'll never replace Jesus. We don't. But Paul said, I take up in my body the suffering that Jesus left undone. We all play a part. We all matter, just like Jesus did. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And then this is interesting. He says, if you're not disciplined, and you're fooling yourself if you think you're not. If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. You see, but we are sons. We're all his children and we all suffer discipline. Then he gives a human example that we can all understand. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us as we respected them for it. How much more, don't argue with me, that's what the Bible says. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. I'm sorry. Whether it's mine or I'm receiving part of yours, I don't get disciplined for you. It overflows on me, however you want to describe it. But whatever, it's not pleasant. It's never pleasant. It's not. It's unpleasant. And it's painful. Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness. And here is the word I was looking for. Peace. Today, communion is about peace. Jesus wants to bring you peace. How you see discipline, whether you live it by faith or you resist it, determines your peace. You see, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. See, God wants to bring us peace. He wants us to live in that world where Jesus lived, where my heart's desire, my goal, my dream is union with him. And when I live in that place, even though I'm in this, it's like living in that cocoon that God took me to that day. There was nothing but peace. Nothing could bother me inside here. Jesus has a place for you where nothing can steal your peace if you accept it, if you believe him, if you believe he's a good dad, It's painful when he disciplines us. I would love to always come back into step with him when he slaps my wrist. It doesn't always happen that way. I would love to always come back to him when he actually is reasoning with me. That doesn't always happen either. Sometimes I have to get whipped. And I don't mean a whipping. I mean scourged. And then I listen. And you know, every time I've ever listened, when I got whipped, I was thankful and happy, and it brought peace. It was painful. It hurt, but it brings peace. And then he says an interesting thing in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I'd like to do this whole chapter, and once again, I've sort of jumped too far ahead. John the apostle said this. This is the message, 1 John 1, 5. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He's not like our earthly fathers. We make mistakes. He doesn't. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. He doesn't make mistakes. When you come to him and you begin to embrace him by faith that he gives you, you will have experience peace and righteousness. It always comes. And then he says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, right? If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, guess what? The first thing happens. We have fellowship with one another. Isn't that amazing? When you walk in the light, you're going to love your brothers and sisters in Christ. In this church, in every church. When you walk in the light, we will have fellowship with one another when we walk in the light. It's the first sign, I think, of walking with Jesus. It's why we do communion. It's about fellowship. It's the thing about VBS, always our Friday night deal is a big deal because we have the adults and the parents and everybody together, and we're family. Whether you're a part of Grace or not, you're family. And we believe that's really true. And then when that happens, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Jesus has something for you today. He has something for you. If you've been experiencing, I think two things. One is I believe that that's a big deal. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to let you down. If you've been struggling with that feeling inside when some people have let you down, when the circumstances have let you down, your investments have let you down, your organization has let you down, your business, your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends, if you've experienced that, Jesus wants to come to you today. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. If you're experiencing pain, it's because of someone's disconnection from God. Not necessarily yours. Not necessarily yours. Jesus felt, he felt being let down more than any of us ever will. But today, he wants you to have the same peace he had. So today, I think you can give that to him. You can literally give him that pain of being let down. And I think he'll come to you in a real tangible way that in the future you can tell that story the same way I told my cocoon story. I can tell that story because it happened to me. He wants to do that with you. And I believe he wants to do something else. If you're having that rocky thing inside and you aren't experiencing peace, you can today. You can. He wants you to receive peace today. And so that's what we're going to do in ministry time. So, yeah, Lisa, you can come up. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to receive peace from him and encounters with him. And so let's all stand up. Would you do that? And we're going to need help, I think. We always have a healing prayer teams up here that want to pray with you if you have a healing problem, you need peace in your body, I believe that they'll be up here for that. But also, okay, I'm going to do this. So these teams are going to be here anyway. I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot. And you don't have to do this. Believe me, it's no pressure. You're nothing. But if you would like to give peace away, to give that freedom from that being the disappointment of being let down away today, if you would like to give that to somebody, I want you to come up here and stand in the front, okay? You can face this way. You don't have to face that way. So if you want to give it away, come up here, if you don't mind. If you're embarrassed, that's okay. You'll get over it. You need peace. So come up here so we'll, I think we do that. We're the body of Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll have fellowship with one another. You'll love each other. Okay, so also, now, if you need an encounter with the Lord this morning, whether it's peace, whether it's because you were let down physically, just encounters. I'm not going to limit God to why. But if you need an encounter with God today, I want you to come up and just stand in front of one or two of these people, and they're going to pray for you, okay? So if you need an encounter with the Lord today, would you come up, and they're going to surround you and pray for you. So it's okay. Thank you for being brave. It takes a lot of courage. It does. And so the people that just came up, if you guys up front that came up to give it away, y'all pray for them. We're going to take just a second. Go to the people who came up to get prayed for and pray for them. You have to like move, do something. If you came up to get prayed for, raise your hand. That way people will know. Yay, there we go. There we go. There's 2, 3, 4. We've got some more. I knew there was more. It's like, y'all all look like normal people to me, so I can't really tell who needs what. Now, y'all pray. Pray for them. Give them. You receive. Remember, it's all about receiving. That's what Missy said this morning. She experienced peace when she quit trying and let go, and Jesus came. So do you need something from the Lord today? It's still not too late to come up front, and Jesus will be here. He'll never let you down. Y'all pray that. Pray that for your friends. He'll never let you down.